Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a small boy was sent to bed by his dad, and about 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring a drink of water?" "No, you had your chance. Lights out." 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" "I told you no, and if you ask again, I'll have to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? When you come in to spank me, can you bring a drink of water?" Have you ever been thirsty? And I don't mean just the average thirst where a drink of water sounds good after a long walk or working out in the yard on a hot summer day. In 1996, there was a young Marine corporal named Joey Mora that was standing on a platform of an aircraft carrier patrolling in the Iranian Sea. Incredibly, he fell overboard. His absence wasn't known for 36 hours. A search and rescue mission began, but was really given up after another 24 hours. No one could survive in the sea without even a life jacket after 60 hours. So his parents were notified that he was missing and presumed dead. The rest of the story is one of those unbelievable events. Four Pakistani fishermen found Joey Mora about 72 hours after he had fallen from the aircraft carrier. He was treading water in his sleep, clinging to a makeshift flotation device that he made out of his trousers, a skill that he had learned in the most military survival training. He was delirious when they pulled him into their fishing boat. His tongue was dry and cracked, and his throat was parched. About 2 years later, he spoke with Stone Phillips of NBC Dateline, and he recounted an unbelievable story of will to live and survival. Who would not have given up? He said it was God who kept him struggling to survive. His discovery by the fishermen makes searching for a needle in the haystack a piece of cake. Joyce said, "The most excruciating thing of all was the one thought that took over his body and pounded in his brain was water. Water. Fresh. Drinking water. Water cleanses us. It revitalizes us." A friend of mine, Pastor Steve Reynolds, in his book, Bod for God, emphasizes how important it is to be drinking water for the health of your body. And it also helps in terms of losing weight. I remember my brother was really big on pushing clean, pure water as a family practice doctor. The thing that Karen remembers is that the funny thing was he had the hardest time because he hated just plain water. You know, it might be the case that this stuff called water is really miracle water. But we're going to look at the miracle water from John chapter 4. A drink for a dehydrated soul. Now the verse that I had not included that wasn't part of the assigned portion, the verse before John 4 verse 5, it was 4 of course, and it said, "And he had to pass through Samaria." That's what it says. He had to pass through. Jesus came to this town in Samaria called Sychar. It was near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. You can still visit this well if you travel to Israel. Now, when Karen and I were there way back in 1984, we couldn't go because it wasn't safe. They're concerned about clashes. So we never made it. We were close, but not close enough. The current well is about 150 feet deep. It has a church over it. It's tended by Greek Orthodox priests. They lower a bucket and let people drink from Jacob's well. Jesus came to this well tired as he was from the journey. He sat down by the well. It was noon, said about the sixth hour. So he was tired. He was hungry. His disciples had gone to town to buy food. He was thirsty. One of the things Jesus never did is he never used his power to provide food and water for himself. He trusted it to God. He didn't try to use his divine power to ease pain or suffering that he might endure. The tired eyes of Jesus and his weary body, we see in that how much Jesus loves you with an intense personal love. The words "had to" emphasize how much God loves the sinner. Jesus had to go through Samaria because God's eyes were on that woman who was going to come in midday. A Samaritan woman arrived at the well to draw water, take it back home. And Jesus asked just a simple but yet a strange question, an unusual question. "Will you give me a drink?" I mean, she can't believe what she's hearing. A man talking to her, not only a man, but a Jew, a man who appears to be a rabbi talking to a woman. He's broke all the rules. Jews and Samaritans did not get along, because the Samaritans' reputation was that they were half-breeds. They were people who had intermarried with foreigners, planted in the land when the Assyrians, 700 years before Jesus was even born, had come. They even had their own worship place in Gerizim set up, which again was totally against the Old Testament law, where it said that worship could only take place as it carried out in the temple of Jerusalem. So she's astounded. "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" If only this woman knew the man to whom she was talking with, the Messiah, her Lord, her God. God's love is for all people. Every tribe, every nation. Notice how Jesus begins to reveal himself to her. See how he creates a thirst in her to have him as the water of life. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If only people knew that salvation. If they only knew that eternal life. If they only knew God's unfailing love, which is a pure gift from God. Not something that one can earn. If only the whole world knew who that person was talking to this woman. If only they knew Jesus as not just a tired Jew who needed a drink 2,000 years ago, but Lord and God who came into the world to save us from our sin. If people only knew Jesus, they would ask him, who is the water of life, "Give me that eternal salvation." You know what? Every person in the world thirsts for something. There's not one person in the world who does not have a thirst, where do they try to find? How do they try to fill that thirst? What about that spiritual thirst? There's a story about a young student who went to a spiritual teacher and asked the question, "Master, how can I truly find God?" Well, the teacher asked the student to accompany him to the river that ran by the village and invited him to go into the water. When they got into the middle of the stream, the teacher said, "Please, immerse yourself in the water." The student did as he was instructed. Whereupon the teacher put his hands on the young man's head and held him under water. Immediately the student began struggling. The teacher continued to hold him under. The student was thrashing and beating the water and for air with his arms. Still, the teacher held him under the water. Finally, the teacher released the student. He shot up out of the water. His lungs were aching and he was gasping for air. The teacher waited a few minutes until he kind of got his composure again. He said, "When you desire God to the same level that you desired to breathe, then you shall surely find God." As dehydration draws the whole of our physical being to have a longing for water, until that void that God instilled in us is filled with that living water, people will search to try to find something to fill that void. Hear the words of the psalmist: "As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." We must capture that type of spiritual thirst. We must thirst with that longing for God. I would invite you to join me that we pray during this time of the coronavirus, not just today, that this virus would get people's attention and that they would be gasping for what will fill and quench their deepest need. Fear is a powerful driving force that can direct one to God, the perfect love that casts out fear. As I mentioned this morning in the Bible class, I've never witnessed when you have a shutdown of so much entertainment, the shutdown of conferences, shutting down of businesses, shutting down of events. And probably the one most shocking is, I never thought I'd see the day when so much of sports would be shut down. It has flooded the souls of so many. And I pray that with the fasting, with the cutting off, a filling with things that distract from God would get our attention back on God. Jesus had to go through Samaria in order to touch this woman's deep, languishing quench for her soul that she thirsted. This Samaritan woman was beginning to sense Jesus had something special to offer to her. Well, he talked to her about the living water, but she's thinking of a cold, fresh spring water. Well, how could this mysterious Jew, this tired, this hungry Jew, offer her such water? "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with from this well that's so deep. Where can you get this living water?" And she pointed to the well that had been there for thousands of years. Generations had drank from this well. And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So if we drink a bottle of water, guess what? We'll need to drink another one. Experts say that we should drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. But nothing lasts forever. You know, we eat once, we're going to eat again, right? Only Jesus can offer us something that lasts forever. Only Jesus can create in us a living faith that springs up inside of us, that believes in Him as our Savior and allows us to live forever. In John 7, Jesus told the people in Jerusalem, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him." When I was a kid, my dad had a cow pond dug. Government kind of subsidized, I think, but I remember walking down the ramp of this pond, and there was a spring that was flowing down that ramp. And to be able to cup my hand and to drink, and it was just the most refreshing, cold drink of water. The thing is, then a load of gravel came in and covered it up. But you know that spring will work its way out again. That even when there's dirt that's thrown over something, it will still make its way. It will bubble through. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Our lives can be dumped on dirt. Things that happen in our lives. And Jesus will bubble in and through and break through that amazing spring, Jesus, the water of life. And the promise we've heard many times from Romans 8, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that exists in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, the Samaritan woman hasn't quite come to the experience of the need of Jesus. She's still confused. So Jesus changes the conversation. He asks the woman to call her husband, and she admits, "Well, I don't have a husband." And Jesus tells her that she is telling the truth because she's already had 5 men as husbands, and now the man she has, she's living with, is not her husband. Can you imagine being in the presence of someone who knows your life? I mean, knows your life. Even though you've never met him. Imagine having a Savior who knows everything you've ever done in your life. Knowing every bad word you've ever spoken, every angry moment, every greedy thought, every failure to show kindness and love, every evil, lustful thought that's ever entered the mind. Psalm 139, the Lord says, "He is thoroughly acquainted with all your ways." Jesus knows. But that's why He invites us to come to Him. It's why He spent time with this woman at the well, even though He was tired and exhausted. He wanted to break through with the living water, past her sin, and free her up to the refreshing living water. The woman thought to herself, "Okay, my sinful lifestyle is out of the jar. I'm concerned about, well, where do I go? Where do I go to confess my sins and get them washed clean? Do I go to the church in Gerizim or do I go to Jerusalem?" And we can get hung up on a building, but it's not a building. It's not a place that matters. Jesus is saying true worship begins when the Holy Spirit touches the soul, when one believes in Jesus as Savior. Jesus is the only one who brings us forgiveness and eternal life. You know, in every generation of history, believers of every age in God have come to that fountain of faith and they've drunk the living water and been refreshed. Every generation. People that have felt the heavy burden of their sins, They've thirsted for forgiveness. They've longed for pardon. They've drank and received forgiveness and peace and hope that only can be given by the living water of Jesus. Jesus held out the words, "Indeed, the water I give you will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." These words, this passage teaches us that all who come to Christ in faith will find abundant satisfaction for their hearts. But then it also teaches that believers are to be fountains of blessing to others. We who have come to Christ, we who have drank of the living water, now God expects us to share those blessings with others. May the Lord Jesus help us to meet someone at the well this week, bringing the living water, a drink that satisfies that dehydrated heart and soul. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our living Lord. Amen.